Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is installation and migration of WebSphere MQ version 7, including publish subscribe configuration. Today's presenter is Anshu Vifera. Anshu is a member of the Level 2 technical support team for WebSphere MQ on Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS aspect of WebSphere MQ. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Anshu.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning, MQ fans. My name is Angel Rivera, and I work for IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 support for Unix in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina, USA. Welcome to this webcast titled Installation and Migration of WebSphere MQ Version 7 for Unix and Windows. Let's begin. Next page, please. The agenda, page number 2. The agenda for this webcast is the following. We will begin with the compatibility between the different versions of MQ and the supported platforms. Then the installation process will be covered. We will proceed to discuss the MQ Explorer, which is the preferred tool for administration and configuration for all platforms. We will discuss pitfalls and steps for the migration of queue managers. And then we'll spend time discussing significant changes to MQJMS. Finally, we will discuss the migration of publish subscribe function from MQ version 6 to the queued pub sub in MQ version 7. Next page, please. Page number 3, titled Compatibility. Because the question about compatibility between the different versions of MQ is a very common question from customers, I wanted to address it right away from the announcement letter. WebSphere MQ version 7 queue managers and clients interoperate with queue managers and clients from any previous level of MQ or MQ series products. For more details, see the manual migration, chapter 2, migrating WebSphere MQ applications. That's a very good chapter because includes details on what we mean by forward compatibility, backward compatibility, and things of that nature. That's a very interesting chapter. Then it's in page 15, this presentation for the web page for the WebSphere MQ version 7 Information Center, which is online, which contains all the manuals for MQ version 7. The MQ Explorer can connect to all supported queue managers with the following exceptions. MQ for ZOS queue managers prior to version 6, because prior to version 6, there was no PCF function in ZOS. And the second is currently supported MQ series V2 queue managers. Next page, please, and Joseph. Page 4, platforms. The list of supported platforms in MQ version 7 is essentially the same list of platforms supported in MQ version 6. We have AIX, HPUX, both the PA RISC and Itanium. We have Solaris, both the Spark and x86 in the Intel platform. We have Linux, 4 versions, the Intel for 32-bit, Intel 64-bit. We have PowerPC and the C-Series. We have the I-Series and ZOS and Windows. We take advantage also of doing updates to the base operating systems. In version 6, there were 2 versions of MQ for Linux Z-Series, one supported only 32-bit applications and the second that incorporated 64-bit support. For version 7, the first of these has been dropped, but the 64-bit version is fully compatible with 31-bit versions. The support for Windows 2000 has been removed, and now Windows XP is the base level, and we support also Vista. With respect to Windows 64, a single package for Windows includes both 32-bit and 64-bit. When running on a 64-bit platform, the queue manager itself is still a 32-bit process, but support is now included for 64-bit applications to use the queue manager. Exits that run inside the application code, API exits, and data conversion exits will need to have both 32-bit and 64-bit versions available, and 64-bit clients will need 64-bit channel exits as well. The new minimum level for Java is 1.4.2, although 1.5 is recommended for easier compilation. The reworking to Java JMS feature will be discussed later on. Next page, please. Page 5, title, Platforms, Notes. This page contains additional notes on this topic. I will not cover all the details, and you are welcome to review them from the copy of your presentation. I would like to bring your attention to the last paragraph in this slide. For most recent information on the supported operating environment, see the following tech note, which is its title, List of Supported Software for WebSphere NQ Version 7. It is the most up-to-date reference at the time of the publication of the manual or of the online information center. We have the specific operating systems and versions and so on. But sometimes it can get behind the times, and this tech note is the one that has really the reference, the up-to-date information. Then in case there is a conflict between the manuals and this tech note is the winner. Next page, please. Page 6, installation. In version 7, there are no visible changes compared to the installation process in version 6. In version 7, we include the tooling for the GUI interface called Eclipse version 3.3, which is used as the foundation for the MQ Explorer. The MQ Explorer functionality is provided as a set of plugins that are installed on top of Eclipse. Eclipse 3.3 and the plugins for the MQ Explorer are bundled with the MQ installation images for Windows and for Linux Intel, both 32-bit and 64-bit. This is an important warning. You must use the Eclipse packaging provided by MQ. There is no support for other packaging for Eclipse, such as from RAD, Rational Application Development, or things like that. The reason is it is not just pure Eclipse 3.3. It is Eclipse 3.3 with some specific changes that are needed in order to provide the support for the MQ Explorer functionality. Let's go to the last paragraph in that page. And those Windows Vista users who use the new feature from Vista called User Account Control, UAC, need to accept the window prompt to allow Launchpad to run in an elevated state. Next page, please. Page 7, installation notes. The last paragraphs in this slide provide more information on the user account control feature from Vista. We'll not spend too much time in this webcast about it. Next page, please. Page 8, installation, components, and part numbers. Starting in January 2009, the base code for MQ, which can be downloaded from the IBM Passport Advantage website, is 7001, and it includes the original base 7000. MQ 7000 was released in July last year, and there were many fixes added in 7001, enough fixes that it guaranteed, it was better for customers to download a unified image of MQ with the latest level. At that time, it was 7001. And the images from 7000, the original ones, were replaced by 7001. Which means that if you go to the IBM Passport Advantage website, if you download the code now, it will be 7001. You don't have to apply something for 7000, the previous one. You will have to then go into our website that has the fix packs for MQ and download the latest fix pack. The fix packs are available in a different website. Unfortunately, the search capability in the IBM Passport Advantage website has limitations, and you need to specify the exact string of the name of the component to download, and this could be a bit frustrating because you may want just to type WebSphere version 7 or MQ 5V7.0 or something, and you may not find any hits, and that could be very frustrating. Thus, to help you with the searching of the NQ version 7 downloadable install files from the Password Advantage site, it is best to search for part numbers. And the following tech note shows these part numbers in the third column. The column is titled Images in a Table. And that's the tech note called Downloading WebSphere NQ version 7 from Password Advantage website. NQ version 7.0.0.1 is a special situation. Normally, a fixed pack, such as 7.0.0.1, is just a delta that is installed on top of 7.0.0.0. But in this case, it is both a delta but also the full product. Then I hope that I'm not confusing you, but I'm trying to clarify that if you download the code now, it will be 7.0.0.1. If you downloaded the code last year, then you have 7.0.0.0, and we recommend for you to download the latest fix pack. And by the way, the latest fix pack, again, 7.0.0.2 at the time of this presentation, and it includes, it's cumulative. The fix packs in NQ are cumulative. It means that if you install 7.0.0.2 on top of 7.0.0.0, you do not have to install 7.0.0.1 because it's already included with 7.0.0.2. Okay. Next page, please. Page 9, Installation, Components, Part Numbers, Notes. This is a summary of the table including the tech note mentioned in the previous page. For example, if you want to find the NQ server code for AIX, which also includes the client, you could search for the part number CZ0EJML, which corresponds to, quote, WebSphere NQ V7.0 for AIX Multilingual. End of quote. Next page, please. Page 10, positioning of the NQ Explorer. The NQ Explorer is positioned as the administration graphical user interface, GUI tool, for NQ, for all platforms including ZOS. With NQ version 6, users of ZOS have to buy client connections via the client attach feature, called CAF, in order to remotely administer queue managers in ZOS. If they do not buy the CAF, then they could not have client connections, and those they could not use NQ Explorer to administer the queue managers. In order to address the need for ZOS users to remotely administer queue managers in ZOS, IBM is providing with NQ version 7, 5, free client connections to the system admin server con channel to be used by the NQ Explorer. In that way, those who do not use the CAF can still use the MEQ Explorer. In NQ version 7 in ZOS, because of the NQ Explorer is the recommended tool for administration of queue managers, the native ISPF panels for NQ administration were not updated with the new functions added in NQ version 7. You still have those native panels, but they do not have the additional attributes or commands for version 7. Now, in version 7, you will see the panels as they look in version 6, but then you could use a line command to specify the new commands or the new attributes. Next page, please. Page 11, Licensing of NQ Explorer. The NQ Explorer is provided with NQ on distributed platforms. The NQ Explorer does not require a local server or a local client. It is self-contained, and it can be installed on workstations without charge. The NQ Explorer runs on Microsoft Windows and Linux x86 or Intel-based machines, and you can install as many copies as required. Next page, please. Page 12, packaging of the NQ Explorer. The NQ Explorer is packaged in two ways. The first one is, the NQ Explorer version 7 is part of the NQ version 7 server. It is not part of the NQ client. That is, if you have a license for NQ version 7 server for Windows and Linux for Intel, then you have already the NQ Explorer. The NQ Explorer is not provided with AIX, HPUX, Solaris, and the other platforms. The second way that the NQ Explorer is packaged is via the following support pack, which was just recently issued just a couple of months ago. And it is called MS0T, WebSphere NQ Explorer. It provides the NQ Explorer for Windows and Linux Intel. In Linux, it provides a single image that works in both 32-bit and 64-bit. Next page, please. Page 13. Packaging of NQ Explorer nodes. This page has details on what file sets from the NQ server image on CD need to be installed for the NQ Explorer, and also how to install the NQ Explorer in Windows. Next page, please. Page 14, migration, references. These are the main documentation references for the information on the migration of NQ to managers and applications. Let's start with the NQ version 7 Information Center, which is online. And then you can download the PDF files for the NQ manuals from the NQ version 7 library, and it's mentioned there. There is a big difference between the online information center, which is really just a reference. If you just want to look at specific details on how to issue a command, or what are the attributes for this command, or a particular single page information, that's really a good idea to use the info center. It also includes all the manuals for NQ. Therefore, when you are doing a search, you are doing a global search on all the manuals for NQ version 7. However, there is no easy navigation. There is no concept of a sequence in the online info center. Whenever I want to read like a whole chapter or a long section, it is very difficult to navigate. You have to go to the parent and go to the next link and so on. It's not just a pressing a button and you go to the next page. That's where the PDF files for the manuals come handy. I have downloaded from this library link all the PDF files for MQ. In that way, when I want to study the Chapter 3 of the Using Java Manual, for example, I can just press next page, and I can see the whole sequence of commands, all the different sections and subsections and so on. Then that's my recommendation. Then I have both access to the online center for quick reference, and then for deep study, I go to use the PDF manuals. Now, there is a manual called just Migration, short title, and it's highly recommended. I really strongly recommend to take a look, just at least browse the manual just to see what are the main caveats and pitfalls or important instructions to follow. And another manual that has some good instructions just specific for the platform in question is the Quick Beginnings for Operating System. For example, Quick Beginnings for AIX. It has a chapter that says migrating to MQ for AIX version 7, and it's very succinct. It's good. The third source of material for migration information is the manual Publish, Subscribe, User's Guide, and there is a chapter called Migrating. Now, let's go to the last reference in this page. I strongly recommend to look at a red book called MQ version 7, Features and Enhancements. The Chapter 12 has installation and migration. Overall, this red book is an excellent material. The reason is the following. The MQ Information Center and the manuals are a little bit dry. They don't have really a good narrative. They are good at providing you, hey, this is information and so on, and that's the fact, man. But when you want to read a story about, oh, this is how things fit and more examples and how to do things, this is a very good material. This red book covers only version 7. But if you're new to MQ, I will recommend a companion red book that is Fundamentals of MQ version 6. And this red book, version 7 red book, it is just a continuation from the other red book. Then in a sense, you have two red books. One just MQ in general, version 6 and version 7. And what has not changed with version 7. And then you have just the delta for version 7. Very useful in red books. Next page, please. Page 15, migration considerations, part number one. Let's talk about coexistence. This is a rather common question also from customers. Two or more different versions of MQ cannot coexist on the same computer. Except for NQ40S, where multiple different versions can coexist in limited scenarios, but we will not talk about them in this talk. In Unix, the NQ code is installed in /usr/nqm for AIX or /opt/nqm for other Unixes. This location is hard-coded in the NQ code. You cannot change it. So if you have NQ version 6 in /opt/nqm, if you install version 7, it's going to overwrite most, but not all, the files in /opt/nqm, and you will have an unsupported mix of NQ files. To avoid this problem, the NQ installation images have a script that will prevent you from doing this overwriting, and you will not be able to install NQ version 7 if NQ version 6 is already installed. However, there is an exception in AIX. You could do an update to the system version, but I do not recommend it. My recommendation is do a full uninstall of the product of version 6, and then do a full install of version 7. And some people say, well, if I uninstall the code, is there any effect to the queue managers? And that's a very good point. And MQ follows the best practice of isolating the path for the runtime code, in this case, let's say, /opt/nqm, and the path for the MQ data, which is in /var/nqm. This means that you can install, uninstall the MQ runtime code without affecting the MQ data in /var/nqm. And vice versa, you could modify things in var nqm, which we don't recommend, and you will not affect the NQ runtime code. The reason I mention this is there are some other products in which they have the same file structure for both the runtime code and the data, and becomes sometimes very confusing to find out, well, where is the runtime code here, in which directories, and which directories is the data, what should I need to back up, for example? And some people, they just back up everything. Well, in NQM, in MQ, if to back up the data, it's just /var/nqm. Everything else is contained there. One thing, important thing, is when you upgrade to version 7, when you install version 7, and you just do the installation, do not do anything else, the queue managers are not touched at all. The upgrade of the queue managers happen when you try to start them. Okay, then we have very clean separation between the installation process and the migration process. The migration doesn't happen during the installation. It is a second step. Okay, we support migration from version 5.3 directly to MQ version 7. It means that you don't have to migrate first to 6 and then second to 7. Okay, and the final note in this page is, even though in Windows and AIX, it's possible to do update instead of full install, our recommendation is uninstall version 6 and then install version 7. It's a faster installation, it's cleaner. Next page, please. Page 16, migration considerations, part 1, note. Prior to migration, ensure no queue managers are running and the NQ service is stopped before installing. Otherwise, the operating system will say, hey, I cannot replace this file that is in this installation image because the file is already loaded in memory. And we don't want to pull the rug under the feet for this process that is already running. Now, the upgrade happens after the installation, and it's a different step. And all the objects in the queue manager are migrated, okay? When migrating the queue managers in a cluster, migrate the full repositories first. And for Linux platforms that support 32-bit and 64-bit versions, there is no migration path between a 32-bit version and a 64-bit version. Next page, please. Page 17, migration considerations, part number 2. Migration from NQ 5.3. This applies really for Windows. In Windows 5.3, we have a different version of the SSL certificates, and version 6 included a newer version, and the format was different of the SSL certificates. Therefore, you really need to do the migration of the SSL certificates at the same time you are doing the installation, and this is properly documented in the manuals. When migrating from 5.3 in Unix, The queue managers are now 64-bit. They were actually in version 6, and will require 64-bit hardware and operating system. And the following general rules regarding 32-bit applications apply. The 32-bit applications may not need to be modified, but the exits and switches will need to be rebuilt. And the rest of this page talks more about what to do with the databases files. You need to upgrade to a 64 version, and you must rebuild the switch load files. Next page, please. Page 18, backup before install. You need to keep in mind that once the upgrade of a queue manager is complete, you cannot revert the queue manager to the previous level. Therefore, you need to back up your system before install, because this enables you to back out the upgrade. If you back out the upgrade, you cannot recover any work performed while the queue manager was at MQ version 7. You can use the support pack MS03 Save Queue Manager, which saves all the objects, queues, channels, and so on, defined in the queue manager into a file, which is a text file, which allows you to recreate the queue manager later on if possible. It doesn't store the data. Okay, it doesn't store messages. What it stores is just the definitions of all the queues that you have, what are the attributes, and so on. And you can modify them later on in the text file, and then you can maybe clone a queue manager very similar, with the similar characteristics to the one that you just backed up. Next page, please. Page 19. Upgrade happens during STRNQM, the start of the queue manager. The installation of the code in OPTNQM does not upgrade the queue managers in VARNQM. The upgrade takes place during the first start of the queue manager after the V7 code is installed. STRNQM space queue manager name. And it will look the same, probably a little bit longer because it has to do some additional bookkeeping things, just a one-time-only activities. And it will be just one or two extra seconds. I mean, it should not be minutes or anything like that. And then you will see in the lines of, oh, the queue manager is started, and you will see something called migrating objects for the queue manager name. Again, this is a one-time only. And after that, this queue manager, it is a version 7, and there are no further migration things to happen on that queue manager. Next page, please. Page 20. But Java and JMS considerations. The MQ classes for Java and the MQ classes for the Java Message Service, JMS, have two modes of operation. The normal mode is optimized to use the new features of MQ version 7, and the migration mode is based on MQ version 6 function, and only those features which were available at this level can be used. And this is called the MQ version 6 leg. Next page, please. Page 21, MQ version 6 Java JMS architecture. The initial idea of the architecture of the MQ version 6 Java and JMS was to have separate functions in separate jars. That's depicted at the top. The actual implementation was different. There were cross-dependencies in the jar files, and that's shown at the bottom, which means that sometimes if you are doing just JMS in version 6, you say, well, why do I need to include the jar file for the base Java? I'm just doing plain JMS. Well, that's the reason. In version 7, things look different because there was a major rework of JMS and as part of adding new function to version 7. And let's go to the next page, please. This is page 22. And these are the notes. Let's go to the next page, page 23, MQ version 7 architecture. In MQ version 7, a major rework was done on the MQ classes for Java and the MQ classes for JMS. Now they are truly peers, as shown on the picture. They do not have combined jar files. What they do have, they are common. Both of them have common jar files, which is a new one. It's called com.ibm.mq.jmqi.jar for Java MQ interface. And by the way, this particular jar is also used outside MQ by other products that in IBM that require JMS functionality. And also what we have is we have a good separation too also from the client or the TCP/IP interface and the bindings, something called MQJBND for Java bind. Next page, please. Page 24. These seven Java JMS nodes. One oddity on this rework of the jar files is that the MQ exception is now in the jmqi.jar, and this is to maintain compatibility with the exception calls hierarchy, that is JMS exception, calls MQ exception, calls jmqi exception. Next page, please. Page 25. JMS migration. There are no major changes to the installation. The jar file set is now different, but it has no real effect on the runtime. The MQ exception was moved, as mentioned before. The Java 1.4.2 compilation class path is affected, however. If you are using Java 1.5, then there is no need to modify the class path because the Java compiler in 1.5 can detect the dependencies from the manifest file. This is something that Java 1.4 does not, cannot interpret correctly those entries in the manifest file, and you have to make it explicitly. The JMS admin config file will be overwritten. There are two new client configuration files. One is called jms.config, which is mostly for getting the traces. We provide exactly the same tracing capabilities for JMS as in version 6, but there is also another way of doing it by using this JMS config file. In that way, depending on how you start the Java JVM, then you can select different options for the tracing. Very powerful stuff. The last entry here is the mqclient.ini will be read for some of the properties by the common layer. Next page, please. Page 26. JMS configuration files, nodes. This is an example of the JMS.config file. And this is just some of the details that you can specify for tracing. There are many options. If you are really into JMS, I would recommend take a look at this file and the new tracing capabilities and maybe something else that you can exploit. Next page, please. Page 27, Java API migration. MQ Java and JMS clients are designed to automatically take advantage of new facilities when they exist. So installing the new JMS jar file is all that is needed. In version 6, there were APIs that were public, but they were not published, and some customers found about them, and even though we did not publish them or document it, some customers use them, but they have been removed from version 7. However, in order to address the needs of those customers who use those APIs, we provide a migration jar and can be shipped to those customers who need them. They need to contact MQ support. There were some deprecated APIs, and they are also available in the migration jar. The JMS C constants in version 6 have been replaced with a new constants package in version 7. One important thing is that you cannot do a mix and match. You cannot really mix base Java and the JMS applications because they will not work in version 7. Again, they have different jar files. Customers have been asking for better access to native MQ messages, for example, access to the message descriptor and to the payload through the JMS API because they require interoperation with non-JMS applications. And this is considered an advanced usage of MQJMS. It's useful to those customers who are willing to extend the JMS specification. The JMS specification doesn't provide APIs to access the message descriptor or to access the payload. But some customers say, well, I need to have access, and I know that you can provide it. If I use these particular APIs in version 7 JMS from MQ, I will break any possible portability to another JMS provider, but I'm willing to do that because I'm planning to stick with MQ. And that's where the value of these extra additional features comes, they come handy. And customers will be able to use these APIs to read and write the message descriptor fields. Version 7 adds 27 new properties for the JMS message, such as JMS, IBM, MQMD priority, or persistence, or Corel ID. It means that you can do it. And the identification of these constants, field names, indicate JMS IBM. It means that, hey, this is just our particular implementation, and they are not going to be compatible with other JMS providers. Users also can now get the whole message in the payload as a byte message, and that JMS message body is the unaltered message data returned by the underlying MQGET API call. In version 6, when you get the payload, some of the RFH headers were stripped, but some customers says, I want to see those RFH headers. Well, now with this capability, you can have them. Next page, please. Page 28, JMS error codes. The JMS exception has been subclassed to provide detailed JMS exceptions, and the text has been improved, and it now gives exception message, explanation, user action, and the link exceptions are cascaded all the way down to include the root exception. Before, sometimes your code will get only the top layer, and then you have to do next the blinks and so on. And some customers didn't know about that particular one, then they will get a very generic MQ error code, and we were telling them they will report the problem as well. And after our analysis, we'll say, well, there was a second message, but it was not read by your program, and therefore you need to include that and do a more workaround and so on. Then it became rather cumbersome. This time we are giving you the whole thing at once. The error codes have changed. For example, the error failed to connect to QManager. In version 6, it was identified by the error code MQJMS number. But in version 7, it is JMS.WMQ and the number. Then if you have some scripts that are automated to look for MQJMS, those five characters, they will not recognize anything because now the error codes are changed to JMS.WMQ, six characters. Next page, please. Page 29. This is an example. It is highlighted in red, some of the main things. But we have, again, the main message at the top, with a lot of information. Maybe we are giving a little bit more information than people want, but we'd rather have everything right there. And by the way, this small example actually could go for 3 or 4 pages, but I just wanted to show you the first one. And at the bottom, you can see eventually there is a recent code 2059, which, by the way, if you want to find out the short name for that 2059, you can go to a command prompt where MQ is installed, and just type MQRC space 2059, and then you will get a brief description number and name, and then you can maybe use that to search in the trace or to search in the web for more information. Next page, please. Page 30, changes to QManagers during migration. When upgrading to version 7, the existing server connection channels will have a new variable called shareCNV, and a value of 10. This allows for shared connections on TCP/IP channels, which enables new features such as read-ahead and synchronous boot, which were added in version 7. In case of problems, it might be necessary to disable these shared conversations by specifying a value of 0, which means that we are forcing that channel to work as an MQ version 6 channel, which means that it's also half duplex and none of the new functions are available. However, you can maybe strike a compromise and set the value to 1, which means only one conversation that will allow the new features in MQ version 7, but there will be no serialization. You will not be really sharing any conversations. And it's still full duplex. Good. Next page, please. Page 31, MQ version 6 and version 7 compatibility. The new features which are available for a version 7 client connected to a version 6 queue manager are the following. Weighted selection on client con channels. When you have a client channel definition table and you have different channels to connect to a queue manager, right now the name of the channel is kind of a round robin and is based on the name of the channel. It's alphabetically. Then it goes just by alphabetical, and there is no concept of kind of a workload balancing. Some customers have requested saying, well, I'll have three channels, but I want one channel to get 60%, another channel to get 30%, and another channel to get 10%. Then now you can do it with version 7. And in version 7 also, you can reconnect via previously used channel. If you program, you can now ask, well, at the time of connection, hey, give me the handle for, give me the name of the channel that I'm connecting. And then when you connect again later on, you can use that name. And the third thing that you can use is the following. The NQ server environment variable in version 6 had a limitation of 4 megabytes. For a message. You could not send a message that was longer than 4 megabytes. Now, the default is still 4 megabytes, but the upper limit is 100 megabytes, which is the upper limit for all the channels. The last section in this page is that the new features which are available for version 6 client connected to a version 7 queue managers are the following. Instant limits of server con channels, which let me just tell you briefly what is this new feature. The default number of server connection channels for a queue manager is 300. But what happens if you have a rogue application in one client that is doing a connection but is failing and is dropping, and this application was not properly designed, and then it doesn't do a close on the channel and it just opens another one and so on, it fails and so on, then eventually that application could open 300 instances of the server connection channel and limiting and taking all the channels available for a queue manager, and nobody else can log on to the queue manager. To connect to the queue manager using a client connection. And that was a real problem, especially when developing or doing testing and so on. And now we have provided two levels. One is, in general, for a given server connection channel, how many instances can we have? Let's suppose that of those 300, we say for this channel 1, we want up to 100 instances. Then when this rogue application is trying to consume the channels, eventually we will reach 100, and it cannot get the 101. The good news is we have still 200 server connection instances that could be used. Then we have not stopped the queue manager for doing something useful. Now, the second level is that for a given host IP address, how many instances can be issued from that host? And let's suppose in this example that we have server channel 1, and we specify that has a limit of 100, but we say, hey, any host that is connected using this channel will have a maximum of 20 per host, which means that in host 1, they can issue only 20 instances. Still, there are 80 to be used for this other server. From host 2, which will have another 20, host 3, another 20, host 4, another 20, etc. Anyway, let's go to page number 32, please. And this explains that the maximum message length for the NQ server environment has been upgraded to 100 megabytes instead of 4 megabytes. And everything else in the structure needs to be also with the proper numbers, because you have to have the queues and so on. The maximum message length needs to be altered in the proper objects. And let's go to page number 33, please. Applications migration, part 1. For applications which do not use public subscribe, there are no migration processes or changes required for migration or installation of NQ version 7. Existing applications will continue to function in their current state. Some caveats for Windows. The new NQI operations are not available for the old Visual Basic or the ActiveX programs, and they have to use the .NET classes instead. Next page, please. Page 34. Applications Migration Part Number 2. New PERVs remove the need for some of the older interfaces which were deprecated. Now, they are not removed immediately. That's what the meaning of deprecation means, really. They are still available, but we don't recommend it. They are still there, but they could be removed in a future version of the product. For example, PCF and RFH facilities for publish-subscribe applications, identity streams, those are no longer officially available, but they are, but we recommend not to use them. A single application cannot mix new verbs with all options. For example, cannot use the RFH header register publisher using the new NQPod topic because the NQPod topic doesn't know about those guys. A single application cannot mix new verbs with all options. However, a subscriber made through the NQRFH two commands can interact with a publisher doing an NQ to a topic. This allows existing applications to be migrated one at a time. And options available to translate all the style pop-up commands, both RFH and RFH2 interfaces for NQ and message broker, pop-up applications, and no need when all pop-up applications have been converted. Next page, please. Page 35, application migration notes. We'll skip it. Next page, please. Page 36, client channels. It is not possible to define a client channel in a client channel definition table using NQ version 7 and have it read by NQ version 6 client or an early version of the client. The CCDT files are not migrated when upgrading to version 7, nor is the entire file updated when updating just one channel within the CCDT. Thus, if you have a mix of different versions of NQ and you have CCDT files, then a recommendation is that the CCDT files should be defined and maintained on a queue manager that is at the same version or early than the versions of all the clients that use the file. That means that if you have one client that still needs to be using NQ 5.3, well, you have to maintain this CCDT file from that NQ 5.3 queue manager in order for everything else to be compatible. Okay, page 37, please. Client channels, nodes, let's skip it. Next page, please. Page 38, publish and subscribe migration. One of the main features of NQ version 7 is a native publish subscribe. Prior to version 7, the queue manager did not know about publish subscribe, and there were no verbs or actions in the NQ interface for pop-up. A special set of queues and a process called the broker were used instead. Now the queue manager knows about the queue pop-up and the NQ interface has new verbs and actions. This means that there is no need for a special broker and a special set of queues. This function is called the NQ version 7 publish subscribe. Therefore, in the context of version 7, when we say publish subscribe, we are referring to this new function. To allow compatibility with the older pop-up broker, a queued pop-up interface is provided in NQ version 7. The special queues are used, and there is still a broker, but this broker is now under the control of version 7. It is not an independent process. Now in version 7, if you are using this broker, when you stop the queue manager, the broker is stopped. When you start the queue manager, the broker is stopped. And this allows the compatibility with other applications. The older NQ pop-up applications can continue running without modifications until such time that the PS mode, which is an attribute that has been added in version 7, is set to permanently disable the queued pop-up subscribe. The next set of slides provide more details on the migration of NQ version 7 pop-up to the new queued pop-up in the NQ version 7. For more information, please see the manual, Public Subscribe User's Guide, Chapter 4. During the migration, existing options on administration objects are ignored. The bulk of migration is done on NQ Manager, in the NQ Manager, when the broker started via the STRNQ BRK. If non-default stream is used with durable subscriptions, it still needs to be specified on a connections factory. When doing pop-up migration from message broker, the migration of collective is not supported. You need to keep that in mind. Next page, please. Page 39. Migrating PubSub version 6 to queue PubSub version 7. In version 6 and 5, PubSub data was stored by the PubSub broker, and hierarchy, relationships, streams, authorities, subscriptions, retained publications, etc. In version 7, the PubSub data is stored in a new format, and some of the INI file parameters in version 6 now become properties in the queue manager in version 7. Next page, please. Page 40. There are more details about the PubSub migration and the PS mode, which I'm going to talk about in a few slides from now. Next page, please. If you want to spend more time looking at this presentation, when you download it, this page has more details on the migration for PubSub. It's a little bit too deep detail, and I'm running out of time. Then let's just keep it. Next page, please. Page 42. Same thing, more details on the migration. Page 43, please. PubSub migration restart recovery. After each type of data, for example, hierarchy, streams, and so on, is successfully migrated, for example, all the hierarchy relations and all the retained publications for the stream, etc., a record is written to a primary state queue. And if migration is restarted, by default, it looks for these records and does not remigrate the data. To cause the migration to remigrate everything, use the force flag minus F. Next page, please. Page 44. Overlapping streams. Each MQ version 6 stream becomes a topic object. A topic object is a new type of object in version 7. It has a name that can be up to 48 bytes in length. Which this topic object is associated to a topic stream that can be up to 10,000 bytes in length. The topic object is used for configuration and administration of security for the topic space. The publish and subscribe actions in version 7 are done against the topic string and not really for the topic object. That is, when a publish action is done on the topic object, the topic string associated with that topic object is accessed, and the action is ultimately done on the topic string. Now, because the default stream has now a blank topic string, each version 6 stream now overlaps with any other streams, like a system broker default stream. For example, a publication on the default stream for News, Sport, Football, Dallas will be received by a subscriber on the News stream using the topic following Sport, Football, Dallas. Next page, please. Page 45, Problem Diagnosis, Migration Log. Main sources of information for problem diagnosis during the migration are the migration log and the trace. The migration step always creates a migration log. By default, it's called psmerg.log, and it's stored in the queue manager directory. For example, in Unix, it's under var nqm, queue manager's queue name, psmerg.log. Next page, please. Page 46. This is an example of the migration log and what it looks like. Next page, please. Page 47. Summary of the attribute called PS mode for the queue manager. The documentation explains these things. Unfortunately, it is not that succinct. And sometimes you have to read it 2, 3, 4 times to find out exactly what means enable and exactly what means compact. And I took the time to prepare this slide, and I made a tech note out of it also, which hopefully will be succinct enough to say, okay, I think I got it. Okay. There are three values for this one, for these parameters. One, the first one is called enable, and there are two things. The new PubSub is used, and the queued PubSub interface is started. And by the way, the processes are shown in this slide, in QF. QPub and NQFXE. If you see those two processes, it means that the queued PubSub interface is running. Okay? This is the default for newly created queue managers and for migrated queue managers that use the deprecated NQ version 6 PubSub. Okay? Let's go to the next value, which is compact. For compatibility. And again, two things. One, only the new PubSub is used. And the queued PubSub interface is not started. Why? Because this is the mode to allow the event broker or the message broker to work. We don't want the MQ broker to steal the messages from those queues. We want the event broker or the message broker to handle that. That's the reason the queued PubSub interface is not started. You will not see those two processes mentioned above in the enable file. This is the default for migrating queue managers that did not use the deprecated MQ version 6 PubSub. Okay? The third option is disable, and there is no PubSub possible. No new pub, the new function, not the old one. Okay? Three values. Hopefully this will be succinct. Page 48, please. Next page. After migration, we strongly suggest to apply the latest fix packs, and that's the tech note. And at the time of writing this presentation, the fix pack is 7002. Next page, please. On installing version 7, just in case you need to uninstall, this is a handy reference of where you can get more information. Page 50, please. And these are references materials. We include the announcement letter for version 7. The second reference is the information center, which is online. And the last two entries in this page are webcasts that have more information on what is new in version 7. And the last one is just tips and tricks for avoiding problems during migration. It covers also migration from version 5.3 to version 6. Next page, please. Page 51, references, number 2. And the first entry is, this is a webcast that contains what is new in version 7 for the MQ Explorer. The second entry, it is just the support software for MQ version 7, which is a statement of support of environment. And the last entry is the red book about the features and enhancements in version 7. Next page, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works offers an in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product super pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Next page, please.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. At this point, Callie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Jitpal. Your line is open.
Yeah, my question was regarding the upgrade in the queue manager. You said that the queue manager will be upgraded when we execute the command strmqm and the queue manager name.
Yes.
In our environment, we use ha scripts, hamqm start. Can we use that command for starting the queue, for upgrading the queue manager, or do we run into any issues if we do that?
Well, those scripts eventually call strmqm.
Right, right. Internally, it will call, but we won't see the output of that, but will we, if we run into any... Like, I'm just asking, is it okay to run that script or not?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is fine, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.